Well, this next bit is for everybody who's here. So it's for all you down at the front and for everybody else who's sitting behind you as well. Because what I want to do now is I want to help you to understand the story that Paul told you, or really Jesus' story that Paul reminded you of that you'd heard lots of times before. Okay? So, in order for us to understand this story, what we need to understand is, what is it that Jesus is really saying? What's the point of the story? Now, in our story, okay, there are three people. Can any of you remember who the three people were? Tell me one of the people. A younger brother. One of the other people. A big brother, the older brother. And Esther?
Dad,
okay. Or the father, okay. So there's three people in the story, okay. Now, in this story, okay, the father is supposed to remind us of what God is like, all right? That's why Jesus told the story, okay? So the Father helps us to know what God is like, and the sons, okay, they help us to know what we are like, all right? Me and you, okay? So the sons are what we are like, and what Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to listen carefully to the story, and he wants us to think, well, am I like the younger brother? Or am I like the older brother? That's what he wants us to think about. So let's have a look at the younger brother that Paul mentioned, and let's see, are we a little bit like that? So let's look at some of the things that the younger brother did, okay? What he said, first of all, in verse 12, okay, of Luke chapter 15, he said, give me my share of the property, okay? So the father divided the property between his two sons. Now that's a bit of a funny thing to do. Can you imagine, all right? If you went home and went to your mum or dad and said, I'd like half your house, please. Do you think mum or dad might give you half the house? No, I don't think they would, really, would they? And if you did have half the house, and if you said, I want half the house so I can go away and live on my own and have fun, not like I have here. That's what the younger brother meant, really. He wanted to go away and leave his father and have what he thought was lots of fun somewhere else. So the father, obviously, would have been very sad, wouldn't he? So here's this son saying, I'm not interested in you. I don't want to be at home with you. I want to go off on my own. That's a really nasty thing to say, isn't it? I'm not interested in you, father. That's what he was saying. Now, remember what Jesus was telling us the story for. He was telling us the story so that we would think about us. So here's what Jesus is saying, okay? He's saying, sometimes we're a little bit like that younger son. But who was the father in the story? Who was he supposed to remind us of? Can any of you remember? Who was dad and the father in the story supposed to remind us of? Do you remember Esther? God, that's right. So here we are, and what we're supposed to be thinking about, do we really care about God? Do we want to be with God? Do we want God to be with us? Or do sometimes, maybe some of us say, God, I'm not really interested in you. I just want to do my own thing. I just want to have fun. I want to get all the good things that you might give me. I want the food, and I want the house, and I want friends. That's what the younger son wanted, isn't it? But I'm not interested in you, God, at all. I'm not going to pray to you. I'm not going to read your Bible. I'm not going to think about what you want me to do. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, that's what the younger son was like. And Jesus wants us to think, am I a bit like that as well? Well, what did we find out? The younger son went a long way away. And again, we do that, you know. We do that. We might not go very far. When Paul was telling the story, he went all the way over here, but it's not very far really, is it, from you? Because if he'd have carried on going any further, he'd have to have climbed out the window, and that wouldn't have been a good idea. But, you know, we go a long way from God, and we go and try and run away from God. And it's not that we're a long way apart. We're not like hundreds of miles away from God, because you can't go away from God like that. But it's like, maybe sometimes we might think, well, I wonder where God is. He doesn't seem to be with me anymore. And you know what? If you feel like that, quite often, not all the time, but quite often, it's because we weren't interested in God and we've gone a long way away. When I was a little boy, a friend of mine had a poster in his kitchen. Well, actually, it was his mum's poster in his mum's kitchen. But nonetheless, when I went to his house, there was this poster on the wall. And shall I tell you what the poster said? It said this: feeling far from God. Do you think you're a long way from God? And then underneath it said, guess who moved? Guess who moved? It was reminding us that if God seems far away often, it's because we've ignored God. And that's what happened here. He went a long way away. And then he thought, I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to have big parties and I'm going to have loads of friends. But actually, as this thing says up here, and as the Bible says, that was really silly. That was foolish. He wasted all of his money. So can you imagine, all right, if I was really rich, I'm not really rich, so you have to imagine, okay, but imagine I was really rich and I said, if you be my friend, I'll give you loads of money, all right? Imagine I said that. Do you think I'd have lots of friends if I said, if you be my friend, I'll give you lots of money? Do you think I'd have lots of friends if I did that? Lots of people would want to be my friend, wouldn't they? Because they'd want my money, all right? And that's what happened to this boy. Lots of people wanted to be his friend because they wanted his money. But then his money ran out, and guess what happened? His friends went as well, okay? So sometimes when we go away from God, and we don't do the things that God wants us to do, but we do the things that we want to do, what we find is we think it's a really great idea, we think it'll give us lots of friends, we think it'll give us lots of fun, but it doesn't work. It actually makes us, just like this boy here, it makes us unhappy. Because we waste the good things that God has given to us, and it makes us unhappy. And there are lots of people here who are sitting behind you who know that because they've tried it, you know. They've tried to do things themselves. I've tried it too. Not the things that God wants, but the things that we want. And we find it's maybe fun for a little bit, and then it makes us happy. Let me give you maybe some examples of how this might work. One of the things that God says in the Bible that we ought to do, he says, don't be selfish. All right, it's one of the things that the Bible says. Think about others before you think about yourself. Now, maybe sometimes we think, well, actually, I don't want to think about other people. I want to think about me. And maybe you've got some toys or something like that. And maybe mum or dad says you should share your toys with your brother or sister or with your friend who's come round. And you think, it's my toy. I don't want to share it with anyone. I want to keep it all to myself. And maybe at the beginning you think, this is great. I've got this toy to play with and they can't play with it. And it's a really good toy. And it's my toy. And you think, this is really good. But after a little bit, you realize, well, I'm playing with my great toy, but I'm playing on my own. Because my friend or my cousin or my sister or whoever it was, they can't play with me because I wouldn't share. And then maybe your friend gets a great toy, and they don't share it with you because you didn't share your toy with them, and then you're missing out again. So you thought it was a good idea not to do what God asked. You thought it was a good idea, I'll be selfish, that'll be great. But actually, it made you unhappy. And as adults, we do exactly the same thing in all kinds of different ways. We sometimes think, well, I'll just do what I want. I know God says I shouldn't be impatient with people, but yeah, he really deserved it, and I'm going to shout at him, I'm going to tell him off, because he really deserves it. And we think it's a good thing, but it actually makes us unhappy. There are some people who do just what this boy did here. And they go off and they have lots of parties and lots of drink. And they think, this is going to make me happy. But it doesn't make us happy, does it? It makes us unhappy. Because, you know, God actually, he knows best. And he knows what makes us happy. And he knows what's good for us. So here's this son. And he's done all the things that his father said he shouldn't do. And here are us. And many of us have done all the things that God said we shouldn't do. So what happens now in the story? Well, there's a very important slide there. It's this one here, okay, that something changed with the son. Because things got so bad. Do you remember he was eating pig food? That's how bad it was. Some of you know that in the summer I go on camp. Sharon comes with me, all right? And when we're on camp, there are lots of children from all over the country, and they come together. It's about maybe 40 or 50 people all on camp, all right? So when it's dinner time, we have all of these tables set up. We all go into the canteen on the campsite, and we all eat our dinner. But then what happens? What happens at the end of the dinner? Well, some people, like me, have eaten all their food, but there's other people who maybe haven't quite finished off their peas, or there's a little bit of gravy left, or a few beans, or a bit of bread, and all that kind of thing. So Sharon goes round with a big bucket, all right, and all the bits that are left on people's plates, she puts in this bucket. We call it a slops bucket, all right, and all these horrible bits of beans and peas and gravy and pie and bread and whatever else happens to be there all gets piled in to this big bucket. All right, what do you think we do with a bucket? Do you think we serve it to everyone at tea time? Do you think we do that? No? What do you think we do with it? What do you think we do with it? Sorry? Compost. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Compost. Very green. Yeah. Well, we have to throw it away because there's nothing really we can do. I wouldn't eat it. I know you wouldn't eat it. But you know what? In the old days, that's what they used to do with pig food. All the leftover bits. That's what the pigs would eat. So that's what this man was eating, maybe. All the bits that nobody wanted, that nobody else would eat, he'd have to eat. And it probably made him really ill, didn't it? And you know, if we leave God and we go away from God, it doesn't make us sick, but it can make us feel very bad inside. It can make us feel as though really empty. And that's what happened to this man. And he got so bad he realized, life's got to be better than this. Life's got to be about more than just doing my own thing and doing what I want to do. There's got to be more to life than that. And he realized, hang on a minute, what about my dad? There's my dad, he's got this lovely house, and he's got this nice farm, and there's loads of food, and there's servants, and all this kind of thing. And even the person who's the lowest servant, he's got more than I've got. And you know what? As we're thinking about us in the story and thinking about God, Jesus wants us to think, do you know what? What if I go to God? He's the richest person in all the world. God's got everything. So why should I be feeling so empty? Why should I feel as though I haven't got anything and I've got no real hope in life and I'm sorry and the things that I'm trying to do and not really working and everything's going wrong? Why should I feel like that when God is so good and has got so many good things? Why should I feel like that? And Jesus wants us to think, just like this younger brother, he wants us to think, do you know what? Do you know what I should do? I should go to God and I should say to God, I'm sorry for all the stupid and wrong things that I've done. I'm sorry that I ignored you and wanted to go a long way away from you. I'm sorry that I wasted all the good things that you gave to us and spoilt them. I'm sorry that I didn't think about you and care about you. I'm sorry. And that's what this younger brother did. So as this younger brother then was thinking about that, he thought, I've got to go back to God, and he had a little speech prepared. That's what he was going to say to his father. Now, do you remember, Paul tried to act it out for us a little bit, didn't he? He was standing over there. It's quite difficult to act out a scene with two people when there's only one of you, but he did his best. So here was Paul, do you remember, and he was pretending to be the younger brother walking back, and then he had to run over here to pretend to be the dad. Do you remember that bit? Okay, so Paul was standing over here pretending to be the dad. What did the dad do when he saw the younger brother coming back? Can you remember? What did Paul do?
He wanted to have a celebration.
He wanted to have a celebration. You're right. That's a little bit further ahead. What did he do before that?
He ran towards him.
I won't run. But he ran towards him and he gave him a big hug. And he said, welcome home. Now, remember, in our story, the father is supposed to tell us about what God is like. So what are we supposed to think about what God is like? If we go to God and we say, I'm really sorry for all the wrong things I've done, and I'm sorry for wasting the good things that you gave to me, and I'm sorry for being selfish, and I'm sorry for not wanting you, and I've made a real mess of my life, do you think God's going to say, well, I'm not interested in you. If you didn't want me, I don't want you. That's not what God's like at all, you see. Because in the story, the father, he runs to him and throws his arms around him and gives him a great hug. Well, God can't give hugs in that way, but what the story is supposed to tell us is if we go to God and we pray to him like that, then God will welcome us back. And God will say, welcome home, it's great to see you. And God won't hold it against us, he won't have a go at us, but he will forgive us for all the wrong things that we did, just like he did to the son. And the son then was welcomed back into his father's house. He went inside the house, and he had this great party. What does God do? Well, the Bible tells us that if we say sorry to God and we really mean it and God forgives us, then what God does, he doesn't welcome us into a house, but he welcomes us into heaven. And it means that when we die, we can go and be in heaven forever and forever. And we can have all the great things that we maybe thought we might get with our friends by partying and doing the things that we wanted to do didn't really work. All of those longings, all of those desires, all of those the things that we want, God actually gives them to us in heaven. So in heaven, we've got loads of friends. That's what the man wanted, but he didn't get them. But in heaven, that's what God gives us. And he wanted lots of good things, but he chose the wrong things. He chose the bad things. But in heaven, there's only good things in heaven, and God gives them and shares them with everyone who is there. So, what a wonderful story. And it's a great story, not just because of the way that Jesus told it, but because we can be in it. Now, here's the thing. There are some people who are the younger brother who are about here in the story. Still at the point where you think, if I'm selfish, if I just do my thing, things are going to be great. And maybe you think a little bit like that. There are other people who have tried that, and they're at this point in the story here. And they think everything's gone wrong and life's really difficult and horrible and I haven't really got any friends and I'm just really depressed and down. And some people are like that. Now, if you're in either of those two places in the story, however young or old you are, that's not a great place to be, is it? If we're going to be the younger brother, we need to be the younger brother at this part of the story, don't we? Right here, as he's being welcomed into the Father's arms. And there's lots of people here this morning for whom that has happened, that they've prayed to God, asked God to forgive them, and they know that God has forgiven them. Well, that's the story of the younger brother. But there is another brother. And what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song. And after the song, Paul and I are going to tell you all about the older brother. All right?
The older son, he stayed at home. He worked really hard.
Thank you, Paul. Well, what a way to leave the story. Okay, what a way to leave the story. You're going to have to wait a little longer and find out. Because what we're going to do now is we're going to think about the older son. All right? So when we were thinking about the younger son, I was speaking mainly to the younger people. And now we're speaking about the older son. You're still included, still wanting to listen, but I'm going to be speaking mainly to the older people, okay, about the older son. You see, sometimes when we think about when we think about this story, we get really excited, don't we, about the younger son. And maybe some of us can remember coming home and, as it were, to God, and God forgiving us. And we get really excited by that, and it's brilliant that we get excited by that. And maybe some of us think about God the Father and how gracious and how kind he is and how he loves us. And we just love him all the more because we realize how kind God is. And that's a great thing to remember from this story. And maybe some of us look at this story and we think, well, this story reminds us that no matter who you are, no matter how far away you've gone, no matter how bad you are, if you come to God and you say you're sorry, he'll still welcome you back. And that's a brilliant thing about this story. So lots of us, I'm sure, love that story, don't we, for all those reasons. But sometimes we forget about how the story ends. And it does end in quite an unexpected way, doesn't it? It would be great if the story didn't have the older son in it and just had the younger son and finished there. But it's not what Jesus did. Jesus wanted us to know about the older son. So what is it that we need to learn about the older son? Well, let's have a look at the older son and see if we can see ourselves in the older son. Here's what happened. As Paul has said, he stayed at home, so he was close to the father, okay? So as the father was going about, the son was going about nearby. He worked really hard. He did everything that the father said, all right? But he ended up really cross. So do you remember in our story, we're talking about the father, he's like God. So the older son, what sort of people are they? Well, they're people who look really close to God. They're probably people who go to church, they're people who read their Bibles, they're people who say their prayers, and they look really close to God. And they're not wicked people, they don't rob banks, and they don't cheat the taxman, and they don't speed, well, not too much anyway. They do almost all of the things that God says. But lots of them end up really cross. Do you know people like that? Maybe you are somebody like that. Maybe you used to be somebody like that. And these people, you thought, they should be really happy. We understand why the younger son was unhappy, far away from God, eating the things that the pigs had eaten. But how can this guy be angry and cross? But he was, wasn't he? Do you remember how he responded as Paul said after the servant told him about his brother coming home? The older son was angry and would not go into the feast. So the father went out and begged him to come in. Isn't that just like he did with the younger son, isn't it? So when the younger son was nearby, the father went out to him. And that's what he does now with the older son. He goes out to the older son. The son said to his father, "I've served you like a slave for many years. I've always obeyed your commands." He's really cross. And he's not cross with the younger brother. He's cross with the father. And you know, what Jesus is telling us here is that there are people who they think they've served God all their life and done everything that God has asked, but actually they don't love God at all. In fact, really, they're quite resentful of God. They almost hate him. They get angry with him. And it's almost as if they think, "Well, God, you've spoiled my fun. I've done everything that you've asked, and you've not given me anything." That's what the older brother says. "I've always obeyed your commands, but you've never killed a young goat for me. You've never done anything for me." And that's what some people think. "I've done all this for you, God, and you've never done anything for me." And often people think that when something really important happens in their life, doesn't it? So in this case, everything seemed to be okay at the household. Everything seemed to be fine until this big event happened. The son came home. And that brought about a crisis, didn't it, for the older son? And it's very often like that even today. That everything seems okay with these religious people, and they go to church and they say their prayers and they sing their hymns, and everything seems to be okay, and then a crisis hits. And they don't get what they want. And then they can really start to blame God. Do you know that? Maybe you've experienced that. And then something really significant happens. "I've served you like a slave." And you realize they didn't love God at all. "I've always obeyed your command. You never even killed a young goat for me to have a feast with my friends." What do you notice about what the older son says there? "You've never even killed a young goat for me to have a feast with my friends." Do you know what? The older son wanted exactly the same thing as the younger son wanted at the beginning of the story, didn't he? What did the younger son do at the beginning of the story? He wasn't interested in his father. He went away by himself so he could have a good time with his friends. Isn't that what the younger son does? And what Jesus is telling us here is actually, secretly, that's what the older son wanted all along himself. He didn't want to be with his father. He didn't want to have a party with his father. He wanted to go away and do his own thing secretly. Secretly, he wanted to do all the things that the younger son did do. And you know, very often religious people can be like that. Secretly envying all the fun that maybe sometimes we think that other people are having. And that's what happened to this other older son. And then he goes on to say, "But your other son has wasted all your money." Let me just turn the page over. "All your money on prostitutes. Then he comes home and you kill the fat calf for him." So how does the father respond? So here's this person, they seem very close to God. They do all the religious things. They seem to be very righteous and obedient and so on. But they're angry with God, really. And they resent the fact that God has stopped them from doing the things that they secretly want to do. How does God the Father respond to people like that? And before I answer that question, maybe we need to reflect ourselves, don't we? And maybe we need to ask ourselves, well, am I really like that? The fact that you're here this morning says that you come to church, doesn't it? And maybe you read your Bible and you say your prayers and you do all the religious things. But I wonder, what I'm asking you, what Jesus is asking you is, are you doing that out of a sense of duty? Are you doing that because you think that if you do those things, then God will reward you? That's what the older son thought. If I stay here and be obedient to my father, I'll get all the inheritance afterwards. The younger son, he's lost his bit. I'll get everything. Is that why you're obedient? Is that why you pray? Is that why you come to church? Is that why you read your Bible? Is that why you do good things so that God will give you stuff? That's what the younger son was doing. So how does God respond to people like that? Well, verse 31, "The father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found.'" And you know, that's where Jesus finishes the story. Isn't that remarkable? So at the moment the story finishes, the son, the older son, he's not in the house enjoying the party and all the good things. He is outside, just as the younger son was outside just moments ago. And the father is remonstrating with him and pleading for him to come in and to come in and join them. And we don't know what happens next. We don't know how the story ends. It's a mystery to us. So when Paul asked you before, did he go to the party? The right answer is, I don't know, because Jesus didn't say. I don't know. And I think Jesus does that for a reason, you know. I think Jesus really wants every one of us to think, am I inside? Or am I just very close by, but on the outside? Do I really love God? Do I want more than anything else to be with him? Will I celebrate when others come into the family? But this older son, he wasn't willing to do that. He was so close. And yet in some ways, he was so far away. And I'm sure many of us have got friends like that, haven't we? They know the Bible inside out. They try and be good and do the things that they ought to do. They're so close and yet so far away. The tragedy is that there may well be people in the room here this morning who are just like the older son. You come to church, maybe you come every week. You say your prayers, you read your Bible, you sing the hymns. Maybe you've been baptized or you've had those things. And it's not that you don't believe, you do believe. You believe all the things that you're supposed to believe. But actually, you don't have that love for your father that those other brothers around you seem to have. And maybe sometimes you too get a little bit resentful. I do all this for you, God. What do you really do for me? Here's the irony. That the older son said, you've never even killed a young goat for me to have a feast with my friends. Do you know what the irony of that is? The father pointed it out later. He said, everything I have is yours. In other words, you just had to ask. You just had to invite me. You could have sat down any day with me and enjoyed that feast. But you chose not to. You didn't realize what was being offered. And you put yourself outside. And so often it's like that with people as well, even now. Not realizing what was offered. Not realizing that we can enjoy all the good things that the younger brother did. So if you're somebody here this morning and you're religious, you come to church, you do all that things, you know, we need to take a hard look at ourselves, don't we, those of us who are in that situation, and ask ourselves, well, do I really love the Father? Do you know what, as we look at this story here, one thing we don't get from this story that we do get from some of the other stories in the Bible is just how costly it was. But it is there in the story, isn't it? Because for the father to welcome the son home, the father had lost, hadn't he? Half of his possessions. There was a great cost to the father in welcoming the son home. And you know what? If we're to be welcomed home to God the Father, there's a great cost. And in this story, the older brother was he was no use at all to the younger brother, was he? I mean, if your younger brother had gone out and seemed to be lost and away from the family, wouldn't it be right to expect the older brother to say to his father, you know, I'll go and find him. I'll go and seek him out. But he never did that. The older brother didn't do that. But you know, the Bible tells us that we do have an older brother, as it were, who, like the other stories in Luke 15, doesn't do what this older brother does, but actually goes out and seeks those who are lost. And of course, that older brother is God's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we find is, as we're doing all of these things and we're maybe away from God and we don't really love him, we find that there's someone who is seeking those who are lost, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did in order to seek those who were lost was he came from heaven to earth and he lived a life here amongst us. And then he died, as you know, on the cross in the place of sinners. And people often say, don't they, how much does God love you? He loves you this much. To remind you that God's love is shown not just in a story, but on the cross, where God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died in order that we might be able to be reconciled to our Father. I wonder if you've really grasped that. I wonder if you've really understood just how loving, how gracious, how kind God the Father is. Jesus told this story, why? Very simply, he didn't want anyone to be lost. He didn't want younger brothers who had gone away to the far country to be lost. He wanted them to return to the Father. But equally, he didn't want older brothers to be resentful, to treat God as if God's a slave master, just giving out commands, rather than realizing that God has got many, many good things that he wants to share with us, most importantly of all, himself. And Jesus told this story because he wants older brothers, older sons, also to come inside, to join the party, to find out the wonderful grace of God.